every time it's here. We'll pick you up and dust you off when you're done with Everclear. We're the ones, have some fun, Recovery 101. Recovery 101, the show you gotta hear. We'll bring you back from smoking crack when the Reaper's drawing near. We're the ones, when you're done, Recovery 101.
Thank you to Teddy for our marvelous Recovery 101 jingle. Recovery 101 does not speak for AANEOACAGAPASLASLAACRRMMDRAHAPAFAIR or any of them, they're guys. We don't speak that well for ourselves, as you're about to discover. Welcome to Recovery 101. My name is Bruce B., as always, with
Shelley.
And special guest host,
Mike.
Mike. Mike has been on the show before. Back in the day, he's quick to tell people, come check out my show.
It's my 15 minutes of fame.
See, you're going to get 30 minutes of fame. You'll get more than that.
You'll get 45 minutes
of
fame, maybe an hour.
You'll get 45 minutes of fame just on this show.
Sweet.
Maybe another 45 next show.
I already need the Humble Trophy.
It's right there.
Okay. It's right there. How's your day, Shelly?
Tiring, but good. We went to the Ren Fair.
Awesome.
The Renaissance Fair. And
massive boobage hanging out over the tops of
corsets.
Women's corsets. It's kind of disturbing, actually, when you see women in, like, there's a woman, and she's been selling stuff there, soaps, since 1970. So for 44 years, she's been selling stuff there. So she's not young, and she's wearing a corset with her boobs, like, hanging out over the top. And I'm like, she got to be in her late 60s.
I was intending, though, to go hang out, look at all the sights to see.
The boobage?
Well, it was kind of hard to avoid. It's kind of hard to avoid the boobage in that milieu. I was intending, because the last time I went to the Ren Fair, I got my Egyptian dagger. I was intending to get another dagger or a sword or something like that, and I ended up buying soap and sticks.
juggling sticks.
Juggling sticks.
Which Courtney, my daughter, picks up and almost immediately starts being able to juggle.
Of course, because it's Courtney.
Click, 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 back and forth. Not so much me. How was your day, Mike?
Not nearly as exciting as Shelley's. The scenery was not as good.
The scenery was, it was your relatives?
The scenery was my nephew's moobs.
Moves.
Boobs.
Moves. Nice.
Yeah, I went swimming all day, took my daughter swimming.
Well, that's not bad.
No, that's great. I had a great day today. Watch some movies, went swimming, cleaned some house. Very productive day. Now I get to finish.
Awesome.
Off of the show.
Yesterday, I was in the emergency room.
Yes, you were.
I usually go to sleep kind of late. That night, I actually went to sleep not very late. I went to sleep about 1 o'clock, which for me is not that late. Woke up at 2 a.m. My foot was on fire, like burning pain. It wakes me up. Pain goes right away. I'm like, oh, I'll lay back and go back to sleep. My God, that was weird. 3 minutes later, 4 minutes later, same exact pain. Every 4 minutes until about 11 a.m. Got no sleep. Go to the doctor, Kaiser Permanente. Love Kaiser Permanente. First thing they say is, we'll give you a shot of Demerol. I'm like, A, I'm a dope fiend alcoholic. B, it doesn't hurt anymore. Well, maybe we should give it to you anyway. And I'm like, really? You guys want to force Demerol on me? I'm like, I don't need it.
Well, it stopped hurting while you were in the waiting room.
Yeah. And then she goes, well, did you take anything? I said, yeah, I took they give you stuff for nerve damage pain, which is gabapentin and tramadol. And I don't usually take it because when I get a pain, I get it for like 5 minutes and it goes away. I'm like, there's no point in taking a med that takes 20 minutes to work when the pain's only going to be there for 5 minutes. The thing won't even start working until 15 minutes after the pain is gone. And she goes, did you take that? And I said, yeah. And she goes, did it work? I said, no. She says, well, I'll give you some Norco. And I'm like, Norco is bad. And I'm like, I don't want to take Norco. And she goes, well, we're not talking about taking it all the time. She goes, if you get to a night where it's obviously going to go for a long time, you should try taking one.
What's wrong with taking Norco?
It's a narcotic.
It's a narcotic.
But
I know, doctor supervision and all that. Well, the thing is, I told her, I said, I've never had this before. I might never have it again. She goes, oh, no, you're going to have it again. We just don't know when. She goes, but make sure, she goes, if you're really worried about it, make sure that the pain is going to be not for 5 minutes. Make sure it's going on and on and on. So she said, stay up for half an hour, get 20 feelings of pain, and then take it. And I'm like, and then she said the coup de resistance.
The coup de resistance?
It might not even work. And I'm like, what do you mean? And she goes, well, it's nerve damage pain. She goes, it's kind of like phantom pain that people get that have had amputations. The pain is very real to them, but it doesn't matter what you take, it won't go away.
My mind would have instantly zoomed in on amputations.
It did.
Okay, just because this is going to bug me if I don't say this. Coup de resistance is not a phrase. It's either coup de grâce or pièce de resistance.
Pièce. I'll take that one.
How did you come up with every 4 minutes? You were timing it? Why not 5 minutes?
It could have been five. It could have been three. Let me
tell
you,
even number.
Every couple minutes I'm sitting there and I'm going, ow, ow.
At 3 o'clock in the morning he says, Shelly! And I'm like, what? I mean, out of a stone cold sleep. I'm like, oh my God, the house is burning down. The dogs have died. Something happened.
Then I said, are you asleep?
And then he explains what's going on, and I'm like, did you take your gabapentin? Yes. Did you walk around? Yes. I'm thinking, okay, go to the urgent care. Well, what are you going to do? Well, maybe I'll go to urgent care. I don't know. And then he says, I'm sorry, I didn't mean to wake you up. And that was when I really woke up, and I looked at him, and I said, yes, you did. You shouted my name very loudly at 3 o'clock in the morning.
Of course you meant to wake me up.
You meant to wake me up.
I hit her with a bucket of water. So I didn't mean to wake you up.
It was shaking her.
No, but I understand that because, like, when I have my cluster migraine cycles, I don't want to wake him up. But in the same time, I want somebody to be with me, to share this pain with me or whatever. You know, you don't want to be alone.
So you know what she does?
Pain.
She hits me with a frying pan in the head in the middle of the night to give me a headache. It says, I've got a headache. Do you? And if I say no, she strikes me again.
That is not true. Usually I don't even wake him up. Usually I just – normally I don't have to wake him up because my headaches hit and he's still up. But I understand the impetus to want somebody with you when you're having pain.
My ex-wife, I got a canine space infection one time.
Canine space infection?
The tooth was closed up over the napsa.
Oh, your canine teeth. Okay.
Oh, ow.
It inflamed my face. And,
right into the mic.
And my daughter's mother, my ex-wife, told me to suck it up and be a man when I wanted to go to the emergency.
Wow. No, that's exactly when you need to go.
You know what
because
you should have
said? If you have an infection like that, it can go up into your sinuses and stuff.
I look like a who people.
You know what you should have said?
I just had a nostril. That was it.
You know what you should have said?
What?
Suck it up and be a woman.
No, I wanted to pour the abscess on her.
Oh.
Ew.
That's disgusting.
All right.
Jeez, all Pete.
Well, you know what that means. Well, it's time for the boozy news, and the news not fit for booze. Damn, Mike comes in from the sidelines, and it's awesome. Okay, this one's from me. Man is arrested for flashing people in the park.
What's he flashing them?
Well, he's flashing his body. Now, there's a couple of things that are funny about this. A, it's in Mooney's Bay Park.
Mooney's Bay Park. Mooney's. So how could you get arrested for mooning people in Mooney's Bay?
Well, and it says, wait, why are you laughing? Mooney's Bay. It says, partygoers in Ottawa, Canada, complained of an adult male indecently exposing himself on multiple occasions over the past couple of weeks. They were able to nail the perp yesterday, apparently in mid-act.
They nailed him.
Ow.
The sexual assault and child abuse unit charged. Now, you know how there's always the thing that comes in from the sidelines that makes it even funnier?
What?
The guy's name is Donald Papa Dick.
Papa Dick.
He was certainly popping his dick.
Whoa. The child abuse unit charged Donald Papa Dick, 62 years old of Ottawa, with indecent act and mischief. Suspect is described as a white male in his 60s, balding with white hair, wearing prescription eyeglasses. Sex crimes are no joke, though. And obviously, Papa Dick has a right to remain silent. But if asked about the allegations, I hope Papa Dick would say, you got to do what you got to do. Papa Dick in Mooney's Bay.
Only Bruce would come up with that one. When did you guys start changing the format, by the way? Well, this is off topic, but
like,
well, Michelle used to read the news all the time.
Well, oh, I usually do, but we didn't have enough time today because it takes me a lot longer because I actually read the stories so that I'm not reciting it word for word on the air.
I don't recite it word for word. I do not.
Anyway, but we didn't have enough time for me to sit there and troll through the boozy news.
Gotcha.
Yes. I do a fine job on the news.
He's a lot faster at getting them because he just goes.
Your first story was Papa Dick.
Yeah, you can't get better than that.
This is from Fran, so we know it's from
Florida.
Florida, that is correct.
I can't do Florida very well.
Port St. Lucie. Now, you want to see me do this? I have to find out what the guy's name was.
Jesse Little.
Okay. So the cops come because Jesse Little's girlfriend called and said that he's wielding an axe.
Okay.
And he's doing damage to the home, and he has stolen the beer from the neighbor's house.
Well, that's important.
Jesus.
So they get there, and darned if they don't find large holes in the drywall, in the living room, in the bedroom, in the garage, and all over the place. And they find a huge axe. Laying on the ground in the garage. So they find him in bed, drunk as hell, but pretending to be asleep.
Okay.
The cop said, we noticed he wasn't asleep when he kept opening one eye to see where we were. And so he got arrested for criminal trespass on his neighbor's place,
uh-huh.
Public intoxication, vandalism of property because he had public intoxication between the neighbor's house and his house.
How did they know he was drunk between the houses? Didn't he go over there to get the beer?
She said he went over there to get more beer because they were out.
Ah, and that's an important thing to know.
So, of course, he doesn't have a name like Papa Dick, but his last name is Little.
You know why the axe was so huge?
What?
Because he has Jesse Little Man Syndrome.
Jesse
Little Man Syndrome.
Little Man Syndrome. Let's see. He was obviously intoxicated. Oh, he also invited a cop to go sexual intercourse himself.
Is that what it says in the story?
Yeah, and they said that after he said, go sexual intercourse yourself or I will to you if you arrest me. And in the morning, it wasn't clear if the cop had been sexually intercoursed.
Jeez.
Cop like that kind of thing.
Of course, we have Fran again from
Florida. Florida.
Is it Fran from Tennessee?
Yes, but she gives us all the Florida stories.
Not always, but almost always stories from Florida. Oh, this is a good one. Christina Hines.
Yeah.
It's from Orlando. She left $50 in the store when she in the gas station when she went to pay for her gas.
Yeah.
And she went and got in her car, and the guy there at the gas station realized it was there. There's a cop there who says, oh, well, let me go track her down. We'll follow her down, and we'll give her the money back. He's being a good Samaritan. They pull her over, and let me see what she had. She had heroin and hypodermic needles out on her seat.
Oh, my gosh.
So here's the cop trying to be a good guy, looks in, heroin and hypodermics on the seat. Yeah.
She's busted.
She got arrested.
Now, when she saw him pulling her over, why didn't she, like, stick it in the glove box? Because it wouldn't occur to him probably to check her glove box because he was just returning $50.
Because she was high?
She doesn't say. He caught up with her. You know what? She also, her car, she was driving on a suspended license.
Oh.
So he went to go give her the money, but he ran the tags anyway, like they always do. She came up as not having a license. And then, of course, I don't know why she didn't try and at least throw the stuff. So she would have got arrested anyway.
That happened to a friend of mine here in California. That exact same story.
Oh.
Really?
Yeah.
Yes, we know him.
James? No, I'm looking at you saying James. It happened to one of your friends. It's the exact same story.
See.
Huh?
See.
See?
In Espanol, that means yes.
See. Yes. Hmm. Huh. This is from Daryl J. Shout out to Daryl J.
Yes, new contributor.
This is a new contributor. We have not gotten one.
A new member of the Rat Pack.
All right, Daryl.
Now, Daryl, I have to tell you, I shared part of this with Shelley already.
And my response was, thank you, Daryl, your inaugural contribution to my depression.
Yeah, and it's kind of sad.
Kind of.
This girl, Alyssa Jo Lamel, she was a sophomore at the University of Minnesota, who was a gymnast and had just stuck like a really great routine. And
crap, you said was.
She Twittered that she was about to go out and have tequila shots. And that post has disappeared from Twitter. But she said she's going to go out to have tequila shots. And unfortunately for her, she suffered severe hypothermia and tissue damage because the story just went up, but this happened in December. And she ended up on someone's porch, and it wasn't until morning that someone noticed her there. These people were driving down the street, noticed her there. She had been out all night in 16 below zero weather.
It's amazing she didn't die.
Well, that's what they found. They found her nearly frozen to death. But they amputated all her fingers.
And most of her toes.
All of her toes on one foot and part of her toes on the other foot.
Oh.
Now, they did save a lot of damage to her heels, so she'll probably be able to walk with prosthetic shoe kind of thing, like an insert in a shoe. But I think this would be put into the category of
horrible warning.
This is one of the reasons why we don't drink.
We don't have that kind of weather conditions here in California.
No, but a lot of our listeners do.
Yeah. Hmm. Now, we know that in Colorado, it is legal to do pretty much whatever you want with weed. But in Fresno, it's not necessarily.
Is this a story from Bill?
This is a story from Bill P. This woman thinks that her fine is excessive because she's growing the weed because her daughter has a card and she doesn't want her daughter like buying drugs on the street. Now, what I want you guys to do is listen to the story.
Okay.
And then see what you think might be strange. This woman is growing weed for her daughter.
Who has a medical marijuana card.
Her one daughter who has a
medical marijuana
card. Now, she was growing 43 plants on the Delray property when deputies ordered them removed in February. Her mother was ordered to pay $43,000 in fines because they put a tax lien against the property.
Huh?
Now, here's the thing. It goes through and it gives like a bunch of information about whether or not she should be taxed or whatever. But the woman says, look, none of my neighbors have complained. And she also said there's no reason to believe the marijuana would be sold illegally. Now, just off the top, do you guys notice anything strange about that?
It seems like an awful lot of plants for one girl.
43 plants.
How much pot is she smoking?
43 plants for individual consumption. Now, we all know about the kind of weed that's available these days, and I don't know if this weed is as potent as that, but 43 plants one person? That would be smoking four plants worth of weed every month for a year. And I can't even remember how much weed you could get off a plant. But these weeds, these plants were tall enough to be seen over the 6-foot wall, which means they're big plants.
I somewhere in the medical marijuana law, there is a provision for people to grow their own for their own personal use. But I think the number of plants is limited to like 5 or 6 or something like that, or 10 or whatever.
On a really good big plant that's 6 feet. Fully budded, you could probably get at least a pound off of each plant, which means she'd be smoking 43 pounds in a year.
That's a lot.
Herself.
That's a lot.
She got immune to it.
Huh?
She built an immunity to it. Takes more to get her high.
Well, if you've got
maybe
a medical marijuana...
that.
But here's the thing. If you've got a medical marijuana card, the point of smoking it is not to get high. It's for pain relief.
Well, I'm pretty sure you got to get high to get rid of the pain.
I was just going to say that.
It could be for nausea. You never know.
Loss of appetite.
She might be a cancer patient, although it doesn't say that. She didn't want her daughter to have to buy drugs on the street. And what I was thinking is, she has a medical marijuana card. Mm-hmm. Why would she need to buy drugs on the street anyway? You can go
into
any dispensary and buy them. Mom's selling some weed.
Yeah, I think so.
Why is mom growing it if daughter has a card?
And
yeah,
you know
that's
why
true.
Neighbors are not complaining? Because they're waiting for the things to bud.
Because they're smoking it, too.
And if you can see it over the top of the wall, that means you can cut it from over the top of the wall, too. Of course, I'm a dope fiend thinking that. I'd be out there at night with a pair of scissors. We're good. From Phil.
Okay.
Shelly has a thing with... We bantered for 8 minutes.
Okay,
we are not at 15 minutes of boozy news yet.
Okay, go ahead.
Okay. Last one then. Phil sent this in. Binge drinking is linked to overeating.
I believe that.
Drinking more than 3 large glasses of wine push people over a tipping point, meaning they consume 6,300 extra calories in the following 24 hours.
I believe that.
6,300 is a lot of calories.
I know, but I totally, and I can speak from personal experience that I believe that.
I ate less when I drank.
Really? I ate more. Way more.
The extra calories could lead to gaining 2 pounds a week.
Yeah, I'm not surprised.
Now, the problem is, though, that this was a survey of over 2,000 people. But experts warn that this shows trends and isn't really hard evidence because it was merely a survey. And so they need it. The Slimming World put this thing out. Said 50% of the people, this is a quote, 50% of the people who said drinking impacted their food choices had also canceled physical activities the day after drinking. So not only are they eating more, but they don't really feel like doing any exercise because they probably have a hangover from the day before.
Oh, yeah. When I was on a binge state, I'd drink and then I'd get, like, I wanted different flavors or different tastes. I don't know what the impetus was because I don't remember being hungry. But I would go in and make myself a baked potato and put, like, an entire pound of cheese on it and an entire avocado. And, I mean, and I would eat that.
I could never hold any of that down.
Well, a lot of times I ended up not holding all of it down, but I would eat and eat and eat and eat. I ate a lot.
Well, the 2,000 people they talked to
were all overweight.
Opted for bed, television, and social media to get them through their hangover while adding an extra more than 2,000 calories a day to their diet and
opted for another beer.
Another 1,500 and another 1,500 calories of more booze. Dun-dun-dun.
I think here's a hangover like another drink.
Yeah, hair of the dog that bit you. And that, my friends, is the end of the boozy news.
Wait a minute. Oh. You didn't say in the news not fit for booze.
The boozy news and the news not fit for booze. Okay, that was way more lame than the first time.
The New Way Foundation Victory House AWARE program is a state-licensed and certified substance abuse treatment provider located in Burbank. The New Way Foundation has a 50-bed residential program for men 18 to 64 years of age without insurance and outpatient programs for both women and men. New Way is a nonprofit foundation that is partially funded by Los Angeles Substance Abuse Prevention and Control under the Public Health Department and provides affordable and effective treatment. For over 40 years, New Way has been located in walking distance from beautiful downtown Burbank, numerous parks, and major transportation lines. In comfortable settings, nearly the entire continuum of care is offered by state-registered and certified counselors and interns. Don't wait for an accident, arrest, or overdose to contact us. Help yourself or your loved ones find treatment and the joys of recovery. When your way doesn't work anymore, try the New Way. You can reach us at 818-842-9416 or on the internet at new-way-foundation.com. helping 25,000 people find a new way since 1967.
Recovery 101, clean and sober, internet radio, yeah.
We're back.
Shout out to the New Way Foundation.
And Sober College.
At SoapWillHappens.com.
Although
we have no idea if anybody's even working on that website anymore.
Well, we don't really know, but it's go check it out anyway. So, Mike.
Yes?
You had a topic.
I did.
And it was called?
Last Man Standing.
Last Man Standing. Now, people will probably be able to guess from the name of it what the topic is, but how did it come up to you? What specifically drove you to this topic? And a lot of people are going to identify with this, I'm sure.
I wouldn't say I had a wide range of friends in program. I have...
Like really good friends.
Right. I have a select few that are part of my group or that I grew up within the program. One even helped me, is the reason I found program.
Yes,
and recently,
did.
Within, I'd say, the last... Within a 2 month span of each other, they all went out. Two of them...
Not all.
All. True. There's two.
Shelly and I are sitting here.
That's true.
But a good percentage.
And my friend Sweet Barry.
Sweet Larry?
No, Barry.
Oh, Barry.
Sweet Barry. He's Barry on this show.
Okay.
Anyway, a few of them had over 2 years.
Yes.
And so it just had me feeling a little bit confused. And alone.
I was going to say lonely.
Pretty much, that my friends went out. So,
I get that. What do you think, Shelly? You've been around for a period of time now.
Yeah, at first it really, really bothered me, especially when I had developed sort of a, I don't even know which one to call it. It wasn't like a hero worship or anything like that, but I really respected certain people's recovery, and they sort of, you know how you look at people above you, not above you in that sense, but like before you, in front of you, people that have more time than
you. The trailblazers.
Right. The people that came before you, you look at them as though those are the rocks you cling on to. And
Star Trek reference.
And the rocks had feet of clay. And it was quite shocking to me at first when it happened to a couple of people that I really respected and thought, wow, they went out. Like, I would never in a million years have thought of those people as going out. And I think the turning point for me, and then another thing is that after like 2 or 3 years, when I first came into the program, the group that we went to coffee with in the beginning for me was very constant. It was always the same people for like a year and a half, 2 years.
And like 15 people like every Tuesday.
Every Tuesday, every Thursday, it was the same people. And this was my recovery group. And over the course of like 6 months or 8 months, or so, people started falling away, until it got to, at one point, it was you and me and like one or two other people.
And a couple of people had
some time.
And one that had 10 years.
Right.
It used to be on this show.
Yeah. And then after a while, some other people came in, and then they went out, and then they came back. You know, and the group started shifting and changing.
The passing parade.
Exactly. And I started to see what people meant by the passing parade. It was just the people that I never expected to pass were the ones that were passing. And it was kind of, at first, it was really shocking to me. And I kind of, the when I got over it was when someone that, it's not so much even respect as like I was dead set certain that this person would never go out. He had 25 years.
Oh, yes.
He and I had become friends. He trusted me to take care of an older member in the program
who had like 50 plus years,
he had Alzheimer's. He needed help being chauffeured around. And he came to me, of all people, and said that he really trusted me and respected me. And he thought that I would be good to help him cart this other member around, which I did. And I was honored to do so. And then he went out and I was floored. And all of a sudden it occurred to me, when people say, you know, no one's immune, that was when I really got it. No one is immune. And strangely enough, at the same time that I understood that no one was immune, I also ceased to care even a little bit about alcohol at all. And I think that happened at about 2 years.
Hmm.
Because if I'm not immune, there's nothing I can do about it. That was when I truly, 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 I think, put it away and said, this is none of my business. This is God's business. My sobriety is God's business. Because if I can't, if I am powerless over it one way or the other, there's really no point to me even worrying about it, thinking about it, being scared of it, anything at all. It just ceased to be a factor in my life.
Well, Mike, by the way, happy birthday, Mike. Mike just celebrated 4 years.
4 years.
Hell yeah. One more year, you get your foot in the door.
Ah,
now,
according to Mark.
Allegedly.
According to Mark, when you get 5 years, you're allowed to speak. I was on the show when I got 5 years. And he said, oh, now you can speak.
You want to know something funny about that?
Huh.
I feel at this point, and probably when I have 5 years, I had a lot more to say when I had 6 months.
You thought you had more to say.
I really...
No. Wait. I call shenanigans. Let me tell you. Here's Mike at like 4 or 5 months sitting at coffee, dead silent.
Should have said a year and
5 months.
And
I'm like... Yeah, well, like starting it, because you didn't go to coffee right away. But I'm like, Mike, you need to get involved in the group a little. And you're like, I got nothing to say. And as time was going by, I'm like, dude, you got 6 months, you got 7 months, you got 8 months, you got 9 months. Of course you got stuff to say. Then once he started getting involved in conversation, Mike is like one of the lives of coffee. I mean, he is. Now, one of the things that was especially stressful for you, though, is the guy that got you sober, who convinced you to go to meetings, has dropped out numerous times. Great guy. Everybody likes him. He's a little frustrating right now.
He's always been frustrating.
He's always been.
Yeah. It what sucks, because it's the guy who helped me get sober, who introduced me to all, one of my best friends, a guy who I developed a friendship with. I worked with him every day. I got real close to him. And a female who's younger than I am, who I have, a tremendous amount of respect for. And they all, one after the other, sent me a text message.
And it bam.
It's kind of discouraging. And you notice, one thing they said, they all said that they had in common, where do we go from here? That's what they thought when they went out. It's like, well, I built up a couple years, where do I go from here?
Back to the beginning?
Man.
Yeah, and my mind's thinking, well, I have a kid. I have a little girl, a six-year-old girl, seven-year-old, who depends on me.
Who in your last while in recovery, I mean, talk about places to go. You formerly did not have custody of her. You've achieved custody of her. You have full
custody of her.
Well, yeah, but you have full custody of her now.
Right now.
And it's like you've got all kinds of things going better than what you used to have going. And it always – see, because I got a lot of time. I look around at people. I go, man – You just don't know, like, what's coming down the road. When people say, where can I go from here? Holy crap. One of these people, I shouldn't even say that because then it'll give it away. But, well, I could say it generically. One of these people had gotten a job where they were just, like, living in a recovery home, had gotten a job. It was just like a job to get by on. Then they found out, hey, you know what? This job could be a career. They're looking to go into management. They went from living in a recovery home to getting their own place. Now they're looking to go into management. And it's like, where can I go from here? Where can you not go from here? You know what I mean? When I got sober and I had my one-year birthday party, and somewhere I've got the big book around, where everyone signed my book. And there's probably 25 or 30 signatures in there for my one-year party. There is one person.
Yep.
One person out of that entire group that's still sober, and that's my friend James. You know? And every single... And not only are the other people not sober, they're gone. I mean, like, we've had people, like your friend. He's gotten sober. He's gone out. He's gotten sober. He's gone out. And we have a couple of other friends that have done that. And these are people that are just gone. And you look at it, and this is 25, 24 years later. I'm like, I wonder how many of these people are actually dead.
And that's what I fear for my friend. He always asks, well, you can't go any further than rock bottom. And I say, well, yeah, you can.
You can die.
And I really don't want them to be the lesson factor for me. I don't want them to have to be the one to teach me the lesson to stay sober.
I recall going to a convention, and all three of us were at this convention, and Mike comes to me and says, my friend has been going out to the trunk of his car every 30 minutes.
Mike's car, and going
to the bathroom every 30 minutes for, like, all day. And I said, and he's like, I'm a little concerned. I'm like, your friend's getting loaded. And Mark, who is a host on the show, as you guys know, that Mike's filling in for tonight, Mark was sponsoring this guy. Mark goes, no. And I told him, I said, Mark, if he's not loaded, I'm not sober. And he goes, no, it can't be. I said, Mark. And it's funny because Mark, you know what's weird, though? Like, you seem to know right away with him. He texts you or something, you go, uh-oh, something's up.
You know what? What's funny, I was just thinking about that right now when you mentioned the convention. My friend, Sweet Larry, told me, yeah, he's doing well. He's at an AA convention. I said, you know what? I just put this together. Every time he says he's at a convention, he's out. I wonder why he hides behind the convention.
Because it gives him an excuse to be somewhere for 2 or 3 days.
Yeah. He's a clever kid, man.
But you know what? And I was going to say,
we all are.
How could Mark not know? And then I thought back to when I'm living with Shelly, and she's putting away 2/5 a day, and I don't even notice. I did notice you drank a hell of a lot of cranberry juice.
Yeah.
Shout out to Shelly.
I had a bladder infection for a year and a half.
We would go. I used to think, see, because I was not looking for anyone in the program. I did the whole go out with someone in the program thing. It ended horribly. And I said, I'm going to date someone who's not in the program. I meet her. She's not in the program. I hear she used to be in Al-Anon. I'm like, this is perfect. And we'd go out somewhere, and she would have, like, a drink. And I'm like, I don't know how you can do that, but great. And I used to think, damn, she gets hammered off one drink. Because I didn't realize she had, like, 6 drinks before we left the house.
Well,
at 2/5, I would have been at a bus stop or somebody's that I didn't know's house.
Well, no,
waking up early in the morning, checking myself.
I drank at home. I did not like to drink a lot out of the home.
You never went on an adventure?
No, I refused to drive when I've been drinking. And that caused a lot of problems.
That
because
used to piss off the kids.
Oh
man,
my god!
Especially
how can you
Courtney.
Make that rational decision that drunk though.
I just didn't do it. I put my keys away. I was done for the day.
Courtney would be like, can you drive me to Carissa's house? Which is like literally, it's like 2 blocks from here. And Shelly would be like, no. And I remember clearly, Courtney would call me at work. And I'd be thinking, honestly, I'm thinking, what a bitch. Why won't you drive her up this street? It's only 2 blocks. I didn't realize she's hammered and is trying to do the safe thing.
I thought I could drive like that. I crashed in a church, local church.
That's right. Yeah. I forgot about it. We need to talk to that pastor.
Yeah. Huh?
Well, wait. No. We should probably get back to the topic. The topic was last man standing. I mean, how does that? How does that make us feel? I mean, when I look at like the coffee situation with people going to coffee now, we're getting kind of a new group on Thursdays that's going and stuff. But the only constant for me, the only true constant for me in the whole 7.5 years I've been sober, is you and I, Bruce.
Yes.
It's you and I to the bitter end.
Whoa.
This is kind of frightening.
Whoa.
You came in at when I had like 2-something years. You've been there off and on because you don't always go to coffee because sometimes you've got Audrey. So you don't, you know, you've got your daughter, which I understand you're not going to take a 6-year-old out to coffee at 10 o'clock at night.
I'm still a regular coffee person when I can be.
Yes, you are. But I mean, for the whole course of my sobriety,
okay,
the only constant has been Bruce and I.
There's probably, seriously, in the last 7 years, there's probably only been maybe 3 or 4 times that I haven't been at coffee with Shelly, and that's because either I'm out speaking
or
somewhere,
sick,
or I'm on a 12-step call or something.
Or you're sick.
Or you
had a really bad cold one time.
Yeah.
And then there have been a few times when I didn't go to coffee because I wasn't feeling
well.
Oh,
yeah, well, I'm going to coffee no matter what.
As am I.
I'm going.
Yeah, but sometimes
to
I get to the meet after the meeting. I'm like, okay, I'm so tired. I'm going home.
One thing I will tell you guys, though, as someone who's been around significantly longer than you guys, it's just gonna happen. No, the reason though is because
here, take the humble trophy back.
You're experiencing at 4 years, and you're experiencing at 7 years. Something that I've been experiencing for 24 years, and it's like. after a while, and I don't want to say you get immune to it because it's a bummer when people go out, but sometimes, dude, I'm sitting around, somebody goes, hey, so-and-so went out, and I'm like, yeah, that's a bummer.
Well, I was,
and
I
it's like, that's about how much thought I put into it. I'm like, I hope they come back.
As I was telling you, Bruce, the other day, I have changed my position on it just a little bit as far as me crying and breaking down over the whole situation. To me, it's just like, wow, I don't want to be that guy that says better them than me, because I think that's obnoxious. But in this case, man, it's like,
it's clearly better them than you.
I'm sorry to them, but I have to stay sober. I really do.
And you know what? And don't look at it as, you know, that you're being better than someone or something by saying it's better them than me. Because you know what? It's just like the thing we heard at the meeting when the guy says, you know, newcomers are most important people at the meeting. This guy at the CA meeting goes, no. I'm the most important person at this meeting.
That was Mark.
Because, you know, but Mark got it from another guy. Because yeah, if I'm not here, the rest of you don't matter to me.
Well, it's like Larry texted me the other day. He said, man, because Larry's got about 3 months less than I do. So right. We're both going to be at 4 years. And he texts me. And he's
an older
gentleman.
You're not the last man standing.
No, I know, right?
From that group.
Right. He texted me and said, you know, 4 years ago, I wouldn't have put a cent on me or you doing this thing. I wouldn't have bet a cent on it. And I said, well, he said, one friend has just taken his 4 years and one's, you know, in jail right now. And I told him, well, you know what? We both get to be there for our kids.
Yep.
And because we're sober, we get to be there when this guy gets his head on.
I was just going to
we'll be there
that.
For our buddy when he comes around, if he comes around, God willing.
I think for me, though, when you were talking about you don't want to be like, well, I'm better than them or thank God it wasn't me or whatever, I kind of feel like that, but to different levels with different people. It's like, seriously, if you went out, Mike, I'd be upset. I'd probably be in tears. If Bruce probably. Went out, I wouldn't believe it.
I remember when I saw...
No, you'd know if I went out.
Yeah,
because
you'd
disappear. I'd go missing.
Yeah.
I saw Bruce have an LBS attack one time, and I thought, man...
Oh, low blood sugar?
Sheesh, I lost my marbles.
I had a guy that I worked for named George, and the very first day I worked for this guy, they put me in the store, and the store layout was all screwed up. And I was a lot younger then, and I moved every single bed in the store. I mean, I moved things everywhere. And he came over to see me. He's like, wow, the store looks great. And I'm kind of in a vegetative state. And he knew I was a non-drinker, a sober alcoholic. He was convinced I was hammered. He's like, Bruce, are you okay? And I'm like, next thing I know, I'm at San Antonio Hospital. And he goes, I'm so glad it was blood sugar. He goes, I thought you were drunk.
Well, if it was, and getting back to what I was saying, but if it was somebody that I know, an acquaintance, somebody that I'm not really close with, I feel bad for him. But on the other hand, like you said, I am grateful that it's not me, because I can only help people if I stay sober. That's and the only way true. I stay sober is by helping people.
There you go.
So I'm kind of, in that sense, grateful.
That's something that I need to talk to Mike about soon.
What's that?
Mike needs a sponsee.
No.
Oh, no, you do. You do. Nothing ensures recovery better than working with other alcoholics.
I work with alcoholics on a daily
okay,
basis.
Okay, delivery mattresses doesn't count.
That's different. That's different. Now, Shelley,
yes.
What are your final words on Last Man Standing?
As long as it's you, you got nothing to worry about.
Oh. Mike, final words on Last Man Standing.
I just don't want to see people go out anymore. I know that's an overgeneralization, but I mean, it sucks to see people go out. And nobody deserves this. Everybody has something to live for. And just don't go out. That's my thing.
My final words are, I will be the last man standing, and of that I'm certain. But I'll tell you, it's entirely frustrating to watch people go out and get loaded who have already seen this way of life and know that they don't have to do that,
mm-hmm.
and know before they go out what's going to happen. And none of us can deny that we know if we start drinking or using today exactly what's going to happen. And it's so frustrating to see people go when the answer is right there in front of them. Now, Mike, it's been a long time since you were here. Do you know who our friend back east is?
Is he Bruce?
The other white meat.
Absolutely.
And what does he do?
He does the 12-Step Gazette.
At what website?
12stepgazette.com.
.com. We're feeding everything.
I'm not going to lie to you guys.
He can't remember. It's okay. The 12stepgazette.com, he publishes a 12-step newsletter. It's really cool. If you can actually submit things to it. You can go to 12stepgazette.com and check it out. If you'd like, he will mail you. If you have a place that where many alcoholics or addicts gather, he'll send you some free copies to strew about the place. There's also the 12stepgazette.com/IE. That will take you to the Inland Empire version, which is a Southern California version. If you guys would like to have the 12-Step Gazette in your town, you can contact Bruce at 12stepgazette.com, and he will give you all the stuff you need to put together one in your own town.
You think we said the web address enough times?
Yeah. Well, if you say anything three times, they'll get it. People so 12stepgazette.com.
Okay.
What was it again?
12stepgazette.com.
.com. I did something right. Yay.
Shelley. People are listening to the shoe.
Really? Still?
Yeah, of course. Well, Mike's here. Of course they are.
Stop.
However you listen to the show, we really appreciate it. But if you could go to our website, recovery101.net, click on one of the shows, then click on like or permalink. If you are a member of Podomatic, you've been counted and thank you. That really helps us with our numbers, with our demographics. If you are not a member of Podomatic, you will have the opportunity to become a member. It is free.
And fun.
And you can
follow
us.
You can log in with Facebook.
You can log in with Facebook, that, yeah. You can follow us, which will give you automatic updates when we post the shows. You can, what else can you do? I've just gone blank.
Add to playlists.
Yes, you can add us to playlists for all your
party
needs.
Rockin' party playlist.
And you can leave topic suggestions. Please leave them in the top show so that Bruce sees them in the comments suggestion. You leave comments. Tell us how awesome we are or how much you can't stand us, either way.
I must tell you that I have a slight inkling that when this show goes up, we may get a new follower named Mike. And there will be a new follow from Mike, there will be a like from Mike, and there will be a comment from Mike, and Mike will add it to his playlist.
And it will say something like, wow, that Mike guy's really awesome.
You know what it's going to be?
Only you guys can make a dark man blush.
You know what it's going to be? It's going to be, we'll see a thing, it'll say Harry. Harry will be the guy that signs up, and it'll be like, that Mike, he's awesome. You should have Mike on every week, and I'll be like.
I love his voice.
And I'll be like.
Who's Harry?
Harry? What's his last name?
Paratestes.
Harry Paratestes.
Jesus. If you are Facebook friendly, you can like the Recovery 101 radio show page. If you want to remain anonymous, you can join the Recovery 101 group. It has a little icon of a little tree to the left. I don't know why it has that, but it does. That is a closed group. You can post anything you want in there, and your family and friends will not be able to see it. If you ask to be a member of that group, you will be allowed. If you try to spam the group, Shelley will take out the slipper of death and smack you right out of the group again, as will probably any of the other admins.
I've seen it.
Let's see. What else we got? Oh, if you'd like to go to the Recovery 101 convention, that is July 18th through the 20th. If you are going to make reservations at the South Point Hotel in Sin City, you are going to want to mention Recovery 101. So let them know you're with the Recovery 101 so that we get credit for people being there.
And you get our group rate.
And you get the group rate.
And that would be in Las Vegas. You didn't say Las Vegas. You said Sin City.
Well, Sin City, Las Vegas, Sin City,
well,
Las
some
Vegas.
But some of our listeners may not know that.
I was thinking it was Pomona.
Well, yeah, Sin City, Pomona, California. Can you imagine?
People are looking for the South Point in Pomona.
We're going to have a big convention in Pomona, California at the Brick House.
Brick House.
And Marty's Brick House.
Right across the street from where the hookers and the crack dealers hang out. If you can get sober at the Brick House, you should have it down. you can stay sober there. Let's see. We've got an email address at recovery101radio@gmail.com. We've got videos at youtube.com/easylook. And Recovery 101, Rule 62. Don't take yourself so damn seriously. Mike doesn't know that one.
Right.
Jeez. Rule 62, don't take yourself so damn seriously.
Okay.
Shelley, who is the lead out music by?
Matt Land.
Matt Land. Everybody, try and leave it better than you found it and be the example.
Okay, bye.
And take care of you.
Falling in, believing.